don't need no education.
Welcome to Education Nation, where we tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and as always, it's a privilege to join you on Saturday mornings. I'm joined in studio once again by executive producer of Education Nation and co-host Mark Durkin.
And a good morning to you again, yes. Rebecca.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you getting that Christmas shopping done.
I was just going to say, yes, we are kind of winding down here.
Yes.
And my family is growing, and so my shopping list has to grow as well.
That's right.
Well, over the last month, we've taken an in-depth look at how the Edina Public School District has seen a steady decrease in test scores, specifically concerning the state's reading and math standards. And I hope that many of our listeners have been listening to these last several shows. But one thing that we discovered for certain is that the dramatic drop in test scores came after the district adopted a complete change in their educational philosophy, specifically a full embrace of racial identity politics.
That's right. A wide gap exists between the academic performance of white students and that of black and Latino students. And as a result, the district incorporated the All for All plan in 2013. Catherine Kirsten, who was our guest, she went into that very explicitly, and basically it presented the notion that white racism is the culprit for this achievement gap. So as a result, reading and writing and math and critical thinking skills, they were placed on the shelf in exchange with this ideological quest of racial identity. Now, since 2013, indoctrination and bullying has taken place in the classroom, with white people, especially white men, were being presented as bad over and over again. This was the testimony of many parents that spoke of the Center for the American Experiment. And so just last month, emboldened students took their bullying bias outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm. So for the next 2 weeks on Education Nation, we wanted to do something a little bit different. So we have actually invited Education Nation production director Chris Hayes to join us for a discussion as we react concerning race and racial identity in the classroom. And Chris is an African American. He's a veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces, specifically the Army.
Yes.
And has several years of broadcasting and media production in his background. And he also has a deep interest in American education and has many thoughts on the evolution of Black Lives Matter. We are so honored that Chris has agreed to join us over the air this morning as we seek to really expand our conversation on this very important topic and bring forth additional vantage points. We've had so many off-air conversations. So excited to finally have this one on the air.
Yes.
So Chris, thank you so much for joining us on Education Nation.
No, thank you guys for having me. I feel pretty honored that you would even ask me to be on because, you know, when you're in the Army, you don't get to give your opinion too much.
Right.
This has been building for a while.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, you know, like I said, after that first show that we did, I was so curious. What is Chris thinking the whole time we were doing the show? And so as soon as we were finished doing the show, that's exactly what I asked you.
Yeah.
What do you think about all of this?
Right.
And I am one who loves to get a variety of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important for everyone to do that and to really find out, you know, where do different people stand on this topic? And that's the way we really land on best practices and best solutions, really.
Definitely. I mean, you've got to be able to have conversation with people that you might not necessarily agree with.
Yeah.
Right. And be able to do that respectfully, and
yes.
I feel like that's one of the biggest things we as a society have lost.
Yes, I totally agree with you, and that's actually one of the things we're trying to resurrect at Liberty Classical Academy, teaching kids how to have respectful debate and dialogue. So, well, let's dig right in here. So the all-in-all plan that was implemented in the Edina Public School District has its premise that white racism, not socioeconomic or family breakdown, is the primary cause of the district's achievement gap. Do you feel white racism is the primary reason for the achievement gap that we see really nationwide, by the way? This is not just in Edina.
Right. And the answer to that is of course not.
Yeah.
I don't feel that the people in charge of making these kinds of statements really believe that. It's just I feel like it's a easy thing to say right now because it's going to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
The the biggest aggregate of the gap is mm-hmm. we aren't educating at the same level.
That's
we're,
exactly
we're
right.
taking, yeah. you know, our reading, our math, mm-hmm. our mm-hmm. science away and teaching the, you know, more or less activism mm-hmm. over, you know, your academics.
Right.
And that's a big part of things. And like we've discussed before, mm-hmm. if everyone, you know, black, white, Latino, Asian, mm-hmm. you know, if everybody's held to the exact same standard, yeah. then there will be no gap.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
And just focusing on one aspect that's not really educational mm-hmm. is going to hurt more than it's going to help.
Yeah. You know, and this is one of the things that I have been saying for years, that we don't have to have a racial gap in our academic system. We don't, because we know what works in education. And if we hold kids to the same high standards, we're not going to see the gap that we have. Now, granted, family breakdown and some of these other issues obviously contribute.
Yeah.
But I've talked often on air about the classical method and how it works so well across socioeconomic strata and across racial strata. And while Liberty has, you know, some variety of diversity that way, Hope Academy in downtown Minneapolis has even more. And yet they're seeing these excellent results uh-huh. just like we are, because they're holding the bar high
yep.
for all the students. So that standard is the same, just like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just listening to the two of you, and either one of you can answer this question or both, but I know we've talked a lot about how we can't nationalize standards across the board in terms of what's expected of students, because each place is different
mm-hmm.
and there are different needs. So is there a fine line there between saying these standards for education, you know, need to be equal across, you know, all spectrums of people versus, say, you know, this place in the country is different? I mean, is there really mm-hmm. a fine line there, or how do you work those two pieces out together to mm-hmm. make sure that everybody's on board moving in the same direction mm-hmm. as far as education?
Well, and I don't know that you could actually do that in terms of standards, but this is where I think philosophy of education comes in and is so important, because okay. if you have a philosophy of education that the goal of education is to teach students how to think
right.
and teach them how to learn, then everything is going to fall from that. If you want them to think and you want them to learn, you're going to use methods that are going to require them to discuss, debate, look at things from lots of different angles, dig into what is an author's intent,
right.
Compare your view to the view of the author. And so when you teach that way, when you start from that philosophy, kids naturally then begin to start respecting other viewpoints.
Yes.
Because they're hearing other kids' viewpoints in their classrooms. And you don't have to then drop to this level like what you're saying, Chris, where it's almost like an excuse, this idea that white racism is at the core of the gap. It's like it's just an easy scapegoat.
Yeah,
and it's,
I agree.
Rather than solving the problem the hard way, which is to improve the education, they're just going to just kind of point to this white racism and then try to drill into people's heads
right.
that, you know, mm-hmm. you should feel guilty for mm-hmm. being white, or you should feel guilty
if you were
raised in a suburb versus an inner city, what have you.
Right.
Yeah, interesting. Well, let's, again, go back to this all-in-all plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's very aggressive in teaching students what to believe, kind of like what we were just talking about, as opposed to learning how to think critically. So, recollecting from your own educational experiences, Chris, did you have teachers that pressured you to believe a certain way in the form of indoctrination? And if so, did you come away from that experience, you know, having genuinely learned how to think critically for yourself, or did you feel like that took away from that?
So, I grew up in the rural South, so mm-hmm. you know, things. It was pretty much everyone was held to the same standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was treated no better, no worse than any other student in the classroom.
Which is a good thing.
And at times mm-hmm. I didn't like it.
So,
you know, but it teaches you that, you know, even though, you know, for me, math is my downfall.
Uh-huh, your nemesis.
But instead of saying, you know what, because, you know, the color of your skin or the fact you grew up poor, you know what, the way you learn math is okay. No,
mm-hmm.
I didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
You here's the standard. meet the standard.
So in other words, they didn't give you a free pass right. and tell you, oh, it's okay, Chris, you don't need to do well
right,
in math.
Because, right, so, yeah. you know, I struggled through math, but guess what? I got through it,
yes.
you know. And there are things now that before seemed a little foreign, you know, as far mm-hmm. as algebra or, mm-hmm. you know, geometry, that now when I'm helping my brother-in-law, you know, fix his house or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I did need this, you know, you know, but you know, the only thing that I felt was probably skimmed over because I was in the classroom mm-hmm. was the topic when we got to history, when we got to slavery, we kind of talked about it, we breezed over it quick,
yep.
and
yep.
we went right to the Emancipation Proclamation. We, you know, we
yep.
skimmed right over
yep.
that,
yeah,
And even then, I can just, you know, when you're sitting in your seat mm-hmm. and you start getting hot.
Yeah.
Because yes.
yeah. you just feel like everyone wants to know how you feel
yeah.
about this, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, other – that's the only, you know, in classroom that I've ever felt kind of isolated
yes.
a little bit, being mm-hmm. the only black kid in the classroom.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, to my teacher's credit – we talked about it fast,
mm-hmm.
but we talked about
you
it.
Didn't
we
talk about it.
Exactly.
Yes.
And to be honest, you know, I talk to a lot of people about where I grew up and how I grew up,
mm-hmm.
but that's, I feel like that's what's helped me
mm-hmm.
To talk to people mm-hmm. with different political views or different, you know, religious views or just different views.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've learned to respect their opinion mm-hmm. and you almost have to learn how to articulate in a way that's that's not disrespectful to mm-hmm. the person you're talking to,
sure.
and that's helped me a lot
mm-hmm.
everywhere I've gone so far.
Right, right.
You know, in the classroom there, where that lesson plan on slavery was just skimmed over, you obviously took notice. It was probably very frustrating. I mean, did you ever have conversations with teachers about it, or how did you resolve that?
To be honest, then I was happy that we skimmed over because it wasn't until I moved to Minnesota in 2009 that I even understood really what it meant to be black in America.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I was always, you know, fearful of a race mm-hmm. conversation mm-hmm. at home
mm-hmm.
Because really no one looked like me and could, you know, and had my viewpoint because, mm-hmm. you know, they hadn't been in my shoes and I didn't understand what that meant
mm-hmm.
until, you know, I got in the military, met more African American people, met more people of other races, and then you just start to have a conversation. You start to grow up a little bit. So,
mm-hmm.
so to your question, I was kind of glad we kind of skimmed
sure.
over it
mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, though, it felt like eyes were on me
right.
during that. But now, looking back in retrospect, I think that we've got to look into those tough times in history too,
sure.
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because without knowing, you know, exactly what happened, why it happened, the fact that, you know, this person could be good, but
mm-hmm.
had mm-hmm. altered, you know, it was mm-hmm. Kind of conflicted in their beliefs.
Right.
We have to understand that's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in
mm-hmm.
retrospect, you know, when, you know, if I was to go through again, is kind of embarrassing and kind of is, I guess, weird.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather go through and learn deeper about
mm-hmm.
it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, the racial identity politics in the Edina Public School District classrooms, we talked about how they were emboldening those that felt supported while voices of dissonance were bullied and pressured to conform. Now, you've seen the video clip of the students' Veterans Day protest that took place just this last month during the time that Edina's military veterans were being honored during an assembly. As a veteran of the U.S. Army, you know, what were your thoughts after viewing how the students behaved in this assembly?
I was conflicted because, you know, I understand that they have a right
yeah.
to do that. You have a right to protest. It was a small, you know, relatively small number
mm-hmm.
Of students who protested. As a veteran, you know, your blood boils
yes.
a little bit. You know,
your
blood kind of boils a
yeah.
little bit, but then you understand that, you know, we don't serve to tell people what they can and can't do.
Sure.
You have that right. My biggest drawback
mm-hmm.
was we gave those students too much attention.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, hundreds of students, you know, probably thousands. I couldn't tell how many was in the video, but that were standing, being very respectful. Mm-hmm. And there were black students in that crowd.
Right.
But the whole narrative, and like we do with everything now, mm-hmm. is black students at Edina High School, you know, mm-hmm. this, that, and other. Mm-hmm. And I just feel bad for the students that probably would have my viewpoint mm-hmm. and be embarrassed mm-hmm. by what happened. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't necessarily, you don't want to, it's very hard for me to really bash the kids because they do have a right. And mm-hmm. they could have been more disrespectful in the way they protested. But as a veteran, that boils my blood a little bit. Because
a little tension there.
Yeah. And the fact that a lot of people were mentioning it seems mm-hmm. from reports that most of the students were Somali students. Mm-hmm. So that kind of throws another layer.
Right. We talked about that last week, too, off air. Yes, you know, then you're probably dealing with a Muslim population on top of it, which may also contribute to their feelings of their frustrations mm-hmm. In this country. But so what you're saying really is the broad brush, you know, that these students, it's called out that these black students did this, but there's a lot of black students that didn't do that.
Exactly.
And yet they kind of get looked at the same way as all of the ones that
did. Yeah. And I mentioned too off the air last week that I, for the first time, mm-hmm. feel like, you know, some of my white friends felt. When they have to apologize for mm-hmm. the actions of this group of white people, because you know, you would just want to say, oh, all black people are this or all white people are that. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, I felt like I needed to find out who these veterans were. And as a black person in America, apologize for them having to go through it because they've done nothing wrong.
Right.
And it was, you know, it should have been a time for them to go home, feel proud,
to be honored. Yeah.
And now they're kind of embroiled in something that they might not even know
what anything
it's
about.
Exactly.
Because most of the veterans that show up at those things are usually the older ones.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so how aware are they even of what's going on in terms of conversation in this country?
And with that too, how aware are the students?
Yeah.
That protested.
Good point. Do they even know what they're protesting?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And that's my thing. If you know what you're protesting, I don't think some of the, and I know we'll get to it later, but I don't think some of the backlash would have come if they actually knew what they were protesting about.
We talked about that, and I wish I could find that clip. I was telling you both about a clip I had seen. I think I saw it on Facebook, or I might have seen it on a talk news channel. But it was a clip of some girls that were being interviewed at a big rally, and they were supposedly rallying, you know, against all the white privilege and everything. And so the interviewer stuck the microphone in one of the girls' faces and said, "So why are you here protesting?" And she very confidently said something like, "Well, I'm protesting because I see racial inequity," or something like that. And then the interviewer said, "Exactly how do you define, like, what do you see as unequal or what?" Mm-hmm. And she could not answer the question. She mm-hmm. literally, and this looked like a very, you know, intelligent person, mm-hmm. and she could not answer the question. And it got to the point where she was trying to get them to take the camera off of her because mm-hmm. she literally had nothing to say. Mm-hmm. And I thought, talk about we're developing followers rather than leaders in our culture.
Right.
It's this group think, this group mentality, and this inability to think critically because they're not being taught to in the schools is pretty frightening when you see it all the way up to the college levels, because these were college age kids. It was on a college campus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty concerning.
You know, we were talking earlier about how higher levels of disrespect could have been shown as opposed to the right to protest, as we saw at the assembly. As we mentioned in our last show with Catherine Kirsten, the frustration of the students did indeed boil up outside of the gymnasium, and it spilled over, unfortunately, on social media. And when that happened, the objections that were raised by the Young Conservatives over Instagram or Twitter or whatever They were met with a video online. It was a threat that was posted by a group that called themselves the anti-fascists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why do you think that these anti-fascists chose such an inflammatory tone for addressing the conservative students after the protest?
Emotion.
Mm, yeah,
100% emotion. To just start going off and blasting profanities and this, that, and the other, it's a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
You're talking about a group of people in this country that haven't really had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting that. But we haven't gathered our thoughts
mm-hmm.
in a non-emotional way to convey our message. There is a gap.
Mm-hmm.
There are problems in the society, you know, that affect the black community more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going at it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first I tell, you know, like my grandma always used to tell me, you got to fix your own house first.
I love it.
You know,
it's
you got to clean your own house first,
mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. you can go out. And I think right now that it's just a lot of emotion, a mm-hmm. lot of feeling of being inadequate, mm-hmm. a lot of feelings of, you know, hearing certain things and not being able to say anything about mm-hmm. it until now. And it's not, you know, like you were talking about the, you know, the young lady in the video,
mm-hmm.
the information
mm-hmm.
to, you know, explain her claims mm-hmm. is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just use it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going at it on an emotional
right.
way instead of an intellectual
yeah.
way. And that's what's making us, we just don't look legit. We just
mm-hmm.
don't, it just looks like we're a bunch of crybabies,
mm-hmm.
you know, crying
mm-hmm.
because of this. When there are problems, we have to get better at conveying the message mm-hmm. in an intellectual way that no matter where you sit,
mm-hmm.
you'll sit and think, okay, yeah, you've got a point there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the discussion can really get going.
Yeah.
But, you know, just blaming you for my problems isn't going to get me anywhere.
Sure.
Right.
You know,
I think what happens too, though, in race aside, I mean, anytime someone feels like they're hurting and they're not being heard and they sense an opportunity to actually say something, one, it comes out more aggressive because it's been held in for so long. And then two, it's maybe a thought of, I don't want to waste this moment. Now's the time to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've
yes.
got to say something. And that
yep.
hurt is what's coming forward,
yep.
right?
I think so. But you can't take this moment mm-hmm. and throw it away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those students made a stance and had a peaceful protest.
Mm-hmm.
Disrespectful it might have been, but most protests are, you know, inherently disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your cause when you go on social media and, you know, start calling people punk white kids
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you start just at the end just spewing profanity.
Right.
You've lost your argument there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And until people get better at conveying their arguments more intellectually and less emotion,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to have this circle of, we feel like you've done us wrong. Now you're tired of hearing about it,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
nothing's going to solve. Mm-hmm.
And it exacerbates it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when the tools aren't there to be able to form
See,
the argument and have the critical,
is.
It's a nasty cycle
it
that
is.
Just goes around and around.
And it's funny that you said it, Mark, because if you're teaching activism,
mm-hmm.
how can you convey your message?
Right. And
you know,
that's what's being taught.
You know, we're not teaching, you know, how
yeah.
to read to increase our vocabulary.
Right.
You can have a debate
yeah.
with the young liberals, the young conservatives, right?
Yeah.
In a respectful manner. You
mm-hmm.
can do it, you know, under the school supervision, and
mm-hmm.
everyone has 30 seconds or whatnot to get their point across
mm-hmm.
in a respectful way. But you're not doing that.
Yeah.
You're kind of pushing, you know, the young conservatives
mm-hmm.
over here. You're
mm-hmm.
pushing the young liberals over here. You're pushing the whites over here, and you're pushing
mm-hmm.
the blacks over here.
Yep.
Right?
Dividing.
So we can't, we haven't had, especially in the generation coming through the schools now, I don't think they've ever had the opportunity to have an intellectual conversation
mm-hmm.
with someone that they completely disagree
right.
with.
Right.
And that's why you get shouting from this side to this side, and it gets ugly like it did on Twitter after the protest.
Yeah, and boy, did it ever. So that's actually where I'm going to go next. It's been reported that they've had many more attacks against the conservative students, and that they are being carried out by Black Somalis, as you discussed a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And in discussing this incident, you previously mentioned that you did kind of feel sorry for these Black kids. Now, we did kind of talk about this very briefly, but just to be very clear, what do you mean by that statement?
So when you say I feel sorry, it's not that I just feel sorry for the Black students who aren't doing this. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for the young conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
When did this country completely flip around?
Right.
You know, I know for a fact if any white student came up, pushed me into my locker, bullied me, suspension would have probably been lenient.
Swift. Right.
And so when I'm, talking about how sorry I am, you feel bad for the other Black students at the school because you're getting to a point now where maybe they want to say something but feel like they can't, because then you're not Black enough. Then you don't support the cause. You haven't been through the struggle. You're not woke. You're not this, that, or the other, you know. I know that in the little video that they put up, that they were talking about, you've used racial terms in your group me or whatnot. One person might have, but what about the other 20 that didn't?
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what makes me feel sorry about the whole thing, is that if I'm a part of the early 30s Black American male group and somebody across the country said something, I'm thrown into that.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, you have to police yourselves, but it's kind of getting out of hand. It sounds like it had done at high school, and they need to get a grip on what's going on over there.
Right. Well, and it sounds like too that it's possible that even the group, maybe none of the racial terms were being used. It's just almost the idea is that because they are conservative, they are assumed to be racist by the rest of the students that were doing this protest. So I think that kind of happens too, that if you're conservative, well, you must be racist.
Well, and the fact that some of the teachers after the Trump election made their students stand up and announce to the crowd that they're not racist. We got to stop this.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You're not helping the cause. You're ostracizing people.
Right.
You know why? For what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because your candidate didn't win an election. Last time I checked, the day after the election, whatever side you're on, you went to work.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
The sun came up.
Yep.
The sun set, and I'm still here.
Yep.
Right. I'm in the greatest country in the world, so I don't understand the sentiment in that way. I get the emotion, but asking kids to stand up and announce their non-racism is I'm not a fan of that at
all. Right. Yes, I'm not either. We only have 1 minute left, and we're going to do another show. We're bringing you back next week because we have so many more questions to talk about. So let's just kind of tie up really quickly with what type of things do you think would like to see happen where true progress actually could be made in closing the achievement gap with between white students and minority students?
Start teaching.
Yes.
Start teaching. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Let's get back to the academics, and we can leave the activism for a later day.
Right. Schools, the purpose is not activism. The schools are to teach kids how to learn.
And conversations even about activism can happen when the groundwork for academics has been firmly established.
Right, exactly. So that there's actually something to discuss.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, well, we have been very privileged to have Chris Hayes on with us today, and we hope that you'll join us again next week as we continue this conversation with Chris Hayes on racial equity in the public schools and just kind of in the nation in general. And if you want to listen to this and other previous podcasts, please go to KLBB, Education Nation, or Liberty Classical Academy under Media and look for the Education Nation radio show. Join us again next week on Education Nation.